Please be seated. Repentance is one of the words we most often, I think, associate with the season of Lent. Perhaps it brings to mind confessing our sins, which we do in that season, admitting and turning from how we stray from the ways of God, how we abandon the call of God to live as God intends. But in reality, that call to repentance is not reserved just for Lent. It is, in fact, a way of life for those who follow Jesus. Mature Christian faith calls us to be honest with ourselves and honest with God, honest about the times that we are faithful and honest about the times we are not. When we sin, we're called to confess our wrongdoing, confessing to God, repenting, making amends, and returning to restored relationship with God. So repentance is not just for Lent, and repentance is also not so that we feel unworthy or we feel bad about ourselves. It is really just acknowledging the human condition, how things are this side of heaven. The truth is, God alone is perfect. I am not. You are not. No human is. And so even with our best of intentions, we stumble and stray. We drift away from God and God's ways. We can sin, becoming estranged from God, from one another, even from ourselves, and certainly from creation. I think part of the challenge for us is the English word repentance has such a narrow definition. But it is based on a Greek word. I said this before, so forgive me, but I love this word. It's based on a Greek word metanoia, which has such a much richer meaning in Greek than it does in English. In Greek, that word metanoia means to turn around. It means to go in a new direction. It means going in an entirely different direction. It can also mean to put on a new mindset, to adopt new ways of thinking. Metanoia ultimately is about reorienting ourselves to God, about being drawn deeper into relationship with God, into holy intimacy with God. And metanoia prevents us from what is the danger in our lives of becoming complacent, of becoming stuck in our spiritual lives. Metanoia is the antidote to thinking, we're all set. I go to church, I pray, I share my time and talent and treasure. Repentance, metanoia, prevents us from getting stuck in what we are doing. It moves us out of our established ways of thinking into fresh ways of experiencing God. God at work in our lives. God at work in the world. God at work now. This is at the heart of our gospel today. Jesus is addressing complacency and resistance to the new things that God is doing. Now, some context is helpful. The passage we heard comes the day after Palm Sunday. Jesus has entered into the city of Jerusalem on the donkey in triumph. The people have waved their palm branches, Hosanna, Son of David. Jesus has entered the city of Jerusalem and has been proclaimed king. And that's important because that proclamation makes the leaders of the people very anxious. So after entering the city, Jesus then immediately goes to the temple where he overturns the tables of the money changers. He is overturning those because their unjust practices prey on the vulnerable, on the poor of their society. And then what we heard today comes just the next day. The conversation takes place on Monday of Holy Week when Jesus is teaching in the temple. And the authorities decide they've got to stop him. And so they seek to entrap him. And they do this asking that question you heard, hoping that he'll say something so they can arrest him. And so the question they ask is, where does the authority of Jesus come from? They want to know, is his teaching and healing power from God? Is it from Satan? Is it from himself? If Jesus, of course, says his authority is from God, they will arrest him because he will be making himself equal with God. Jesus, of course, knows just what they are up to, and he doesn't answer them directly. In fact, he says, I'll ask you a question, you answer me, I'll answer you. And so he asks, where does the authority of John the Baptist come from? Was his authority from heaven, or was it of human origin? Jesus has trapped these leaders. They have no way to answer without getting themselves into trouble. If they say John's authority was from God, they will appear as hypocrites for not listening to him. If they say his authority was human, the people will be angry because they regard John as a prophet. And so they say, we don't know. And Jesus very clearly says, then I'm not going to answer your question. But then he does. He tells this parable about two sons. In the parable, as you heard, the father asks the first son to go and work in the vineyard. He says no, but I suspect he thinks about it, and then later he goes and does the work. The second son is asked by the father to go, and he says, sure, I'll go, but he never does. And so Jesus asked the leaders, which son did the will of the father? And they correctly answer, the first. The one who said no, but later changed his mind and went and did the work. And then Jesus says to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. Even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. Jesus is talking about being stuck in our mindset. Jesus is teaching that being faithful to God means sometimes we have to change our minds. Being faithful to God is not also just about what we might say, about our words alone. It's also about how we act. It can be easy for us to say the right things, trying to appear faithful. But our words must then bear fruit in actions. Our words must inform how we live and what we do. The religious leaders are certain that they are righteous. They're doing the will of God. They are teaching the people how to live faithfully. But Jesus reminds them they're missing what God is doing, that new thing that God is at work doing. They have rejected John the Baptist, and soon they will reject Jesus, hanging him on the cross. They did not see or understand what God was doing in John, and they are not seeing that Jesus is doing the work of God. And then, by contrast, those who are not the leaders, those who are forgotten and despised and judged by society, they are the ones who see. They are the ones who understand what God is doing. They accept the authority of John the Baptist. They accept the authority of Jesus. They see the new work that God is accomplishing in and through Jesus. And they accept Jesus' invitation to repent of their sin, to turn to that new way of life, to embrace that new mindset. They will enter the kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, before the religious leaders. That same call to repent, to turn to God, is echoed in our lesson from the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel is also calling the people to turn to God, to turn away from their wickedness, to do so that they live. Ezekiel is prophet when the Babylonians come and destroy Jerusalem and take the people off into exile. This catastrophe is seen as God's punishment for the behavior and practices of past generations. And so in this passage, the people are asking, why is God punishing them for the sins of their ancestors? And God's very direct through the prophet Ezekiel and says, stop saying this. That's not what's happening. God is not doing this. God is judging each person for their righteousness and for their wickedness. Each person is free to act apart from whatever the ancestors did. And so Ezekiel is calling the people now in the present to turn to God, to receive a new heart and a new spirit, asserting that God does not desire the death of anyone. So turn to God, be recreated, live. God calls the people to stop blaming God for punishing them, to not blame past generations for what has happened, but instead to be responsible, to be free in their own actions, free to create a new reality, a new present which sets up a new future. This requires knowing one's history, working for change in the present so that the future will be different. The Reverend Claudio Carvales is a theologian and seminary professor and has written an essay on this Ezekiel passage. And I want to share just a small quote. He writes, and I quote, "Sometimes we are very good at blaming somebody else for the errors and mistakes committed in the past, from which we would like to detach ourselves. It would be much easier if we could say, I have nothing to do with the death of Jewish people during Nazism, or with slavery in the Americas. This text is a reminder that we must resist this temptation and must take the past into account so that we can create a better life in the present and for the future." Unquote. So rather than blaming the ancestors for the past, rather than making excuses for the present, we are called to be honest. We are called to repent of the ways that we have fallen short of God and to practice that broad metanoia where we turn in a new direction, where we move to a new way of life, where we embrace new ways of thinking and acting, where we put on a new mindset. And we are called to see the new things that God is doing right now, right here, in this time and place. We are called to build a present that leads to a future that is not determined by the past, but a future that rights the wrongs and the injustices of the past. This day, God calls us to choose life, and to choose life by turning to God and living. We live in an uncertain time where everything seems to be in flux. It can be unclear what is happening and where we are being led. And in the midst of that, God invites us to see that new work that God is already doing. God calls us to hear God's invitation to us, God's call that comes to us in new ways, that offers new opportunities. God invites us to put on new ways of thinking and of being. Just as in Ezekiel's day, so in our day, may God create in us a new heart and a new spirit. Repentance, metanoia, conversion of heart are the way of life for the Christian. Living this high calling, may we find life more abundant than we can ever ask for or imagine. Let us say yes to God's invitation to new life. Amen.